Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we are going to have five rounds in the magazine. But before we start, on Tuesday, we had a round. Our opening round was about the Air Force band, or the Navy band, I believe, the Navy singers going out to the White House and doing a little Lion King goofing. They got passed up big time this week, folks. Big time. Any idea what is on my mind of what the Air Force did this week? Anybody have any idea?
No.
If you have to one-up Lion King in the military, what could you possibly one-up them with?
Mary Poppins.
Close. That's very close.
Chim-chim-a-ray. Yeah, why are they singing British tunes?
I don't know if that's an American classic Winds from the east, winds from the west, the winds from the north are the ones I like best.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
a
story.
It's a badass song.
Yeah, it is. But that's not it at all. So what actually happened,
the right stuff, that's the only thing I can think of.
Right Stuff is a good song too. Yeah, the Air Force actually had the opportunity to perform a little God Bless the USA with Lee Greenwood,
and
they did it over Zoom.
They did it over Zoom together. Huh?
Yeah, it was kind of like, what was that? We Are the World.
Yeah, it was called We Are the World.
Yeah.
What was that song like? Together? We Are the World, and it was a lot of people. Yeah, it was called We Are the World.
That Proud to Be an American song is just so sugary, cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Every single time I hear it, it makes me a little sick to my stomach.
It's the chicken soup for the soul of all patriotic songs.
Stop it, Catherine. It's a great song.
No,
it is great.
I'll tell
you
this. Whenever I am hammered drunk, that is my go-to. Leaving the bar, I'll slip the DJ like a 20. Please play Proud to Be an American. And me and my cousins will all stomp around in a big circle to it. That, and when I was hammered at the barracks, they used to play it for me all the time. Because I would like stand up on the picnic tables and really go all out. Because it's such a sappy, syrupy, sweet, like, if tomorrow all the things are left.
It really is. And then having Lee Greenwood. I mean, as Marines, we have a lot of that's part of it. Whenever you get your Eagle Globe and Anchor, that's the song they play over the loudspeaker.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. They play I'm Proud to Be an American whenever they're giving you your Eagle Globe and Anchor, they hand it to you. Yeah. I remember when my drill instructors handed me the Eagle Globe and Anchor to that song, I was weeping, man. I was crying. I was like, this means so much to me. My first memory in my little memory bank of my entire life is coming back from Sigonella, Sicily. And it's kind of the same idea, different American song. But whenever you go overseas, you know, you take these the flights that are the government flights, but they're for families. I don't remember what they're called. Does anybody remember the something pack or something shit like
APAC,
that?
APAC, right? Isn't APAC?
Yeah, something like that, where you can fly from Seattle to Tokyo or wherever. Well, this one came from Sigonella, Sicily, where my dad was stationed, and we came back. I think I was like four whenever we came back from Sigonella, and they play whenever you're getting ready to take off from Italy and come back home, they play on the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America.
Are you talking about Neil Diamond?
Neil
song?
Diamond, yeah. That's Diamond song. I thought he was going
coming to America.
Have you guys seen that movie Saving Silverman?
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Coming
Then he's there in the truck going to save him, and there's like, hey, look, we're coming to America.
Yeah. It is
on the boats and on the planes.
Back to Chaps,
real quickly. Hold that thought, Chaps, really quickly. Space A travel flights.
Space A, yeah. That's exactly right. Yes. No, Space A is the way that you travel. It's not the airline.
Oh, I don't know the airline then. Sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
Oh, just that the lyrics always made me laugh. Well, at least proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. It's kind of like, yeah, America's okay. At least we know we're free, though, right? Huh? Yeah. At least we know we're free.
There's a there's a lot of things we're not too proud of.
I always thought that was kind of.
At least I'm not in jail. Free,
folks. Also, number two. Actually,
it was my idiots.
It was my big time drunk song, and everybody knew it. That I was in my unit in the barracks again on the picnic table, just screaming it from the top of my lungs, 2 a.m. barracks, whatever. And we had to do a giant flag unfurling our unit at a tennis match, at a women's pro tennis match. And yeah. While we were doing it, a man came out with a saxophone and played that song on the saxophone. And I could not keep my bearing for the life of me. I had tears streaming down my face, and my buddies were elbowing me. They're like, stop it. And I was like, I can't.
It was proud to be an American that they were playing?
On a saxophone. I was dying.
So what if you were out there unfurling the flag at the tennis match, and then instead he decides to do a remix and just plays Careless Whisper?
I would like that more, honestly. Yes.
Yeah. That should be. People talk about we need a new national anthem. I wouldn't hate Careless Whisper as a national anthem. Imagine running the 400 meters, breaking a world record, standing on the number one spot. Careless Whisper starts to play.
I think we'd be the most badass country in the universe if that was our thing.
We'd be beating them out with sticks. You couldn't keep people from coming to America. Mm-hmm. You just want on the boats and on the planes. We got 5 rounds in the magazine today. Round number one. Big time bash happened this weekend at the White House. That's actually the last show.
Yeah.
That's not today's show at all. Round number one, a National Guard soldier was on a test drive when they stopped their Humvee to assist a stalled vehicle. And for their good deed, well, they got robbed at gunpoint and left on the side of the road as thieves rolled out and said Humvee. Well done, Kate. Starting the show with a little bit of light firearm goofing. Round number two, to all our 06 listeners out. 06 listeners? Is that what you're looking for?
06, yeah. As in Lieutenant Colonel.
Yep.
Okay. All of our, nope, that would be regular Colonel Cons.
Yeah, you're right.
All of our,
my bad. Oh, 05, Lieutenant Colonel, my bad.
Yikes, that's embarrassing. I'm glad that happened that way. To all of our Colonel listeners out there, of which there are many, we got some bad news. Your promotion have been placed on hold by Senator Tammy Duckworth, who is the golden goose here on the Zero Block 30 podcast. At least for me, she is the number one person I want to interview in the world, even ahead of Mattis. I want to interview Tammy Duckworth.
Can I tell you who my golden goose is?
Yeah.
And I've reached out numerous times to our bookers.
Who's your golden goose?
To our bookers, because I really want to talk to him, is Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch?
The actor who played Mike Murphy in Lone Survivor.
Oh, that's the number one for the show?
I mean, we've had so many great people. I don't know who else we could get at this point that would top that. Yours?
Porn star Owen Gray. But we have tweeted back and forth, and he said he's not interested. He likes to keep a low profile. So
okay.
We'll see.
So I want a senator who lost both of her legs in combat. Con wants an actor, and Kate wants a dude with a huge wiener and an alphabet tattoo.
Some would say a third leg, actually.
Round number three, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's an airman getting ahead of all of us in traffic. That's right. The Air Force is dropping big bucks on flying cars. Shout out to the Jetsons. The fact that we don't have flying cars yet is absolute horseshit.
Right.
I mean, according to Doc Brown, we've already passed 2015. We should have had flying cars by now.
Well, the Air Force is speeding it up now. It looks like they're really working on it hard time.
All
right. Yep. And round number four, Kate's going to have a quiz for Cons and I. And then in round number five, we're going to go on to a little doggy bag. We haven't done a little doggy bag in a while. Last night, I was in a big time canine mood. I think it's because, well, one of my wife's colleagues, their dog of 8 or 20 years, something like 18 or 20 years, died this week.
Aww.
And Gussie boy has just been laying around, not moving a whole lot, just kind of really taking it easy. He's getting old too. So I've been super sentimental about dogs lately. I mean, I legit, over the last couple months, spend like an hour and a half, 2 hours on the floor with Gus, like every day with him just being the little spoon and me being the big spoon. I fuck around in Twitter. I'll write blogs on my phone, just hanging out with Gus. I love that fella. So we're going to do a little doggy bag. And round number five, I wish I could have taken Gus out whenever I was actually in the Marine Corps, because Gus would have loved it. I bet they could have made some puppy boots for Gus too, because Rocky boots are the best boots in the biz. If you need some new boots that are approved by the Marine Corps, approved by the Army, Air Force, Navy, whatever you need, they have the boots taking care of you. And if you are a boot, that means that you don't have a lot of money in your bank account, so you need to save it. You could do 25% off at Rocky Boots. There's a fellow this week that was like, oh, my wife went out and got me anniversary boots. These boots were like $1,000. I went on the Rocky website. They have boots that looked almost exactly the same for a fraction of the cost, and then you get 25% off on top of it. If you're not buying your boots at Rocky Boots, one, I feel like it's a personal slap in the face to me, Kate. And Cons, don't hit us. Do not hit us. Go. The only way that you hit us is hit us with the promo code ZBT whenever you go to Rocky Boots, because they have everything you need, from your tropical boot. It's Berry compliant, which is like the Marine Corps regulation. They have the Panama Vibram cupped outsole, all kinds of fancy stuff.
They have boots for women that don't suck. They actually have cute boots for women. Mm-hmm. I reached out to them on email. Exactly. Cute boot. Ladies, if you want to be cute boot goofing on the mountain, they got like legit work boots that actually look good. Like ones that I will be wearing like with my jeans to work on rainy days and stuff too. Like I actually really love them. So
you're going to put actual pants on and not just stroll into work in your pajamas?
I might wear them with pajama pants. Still, they'll still look good.
I think that's a dynamite look.
I think so too, honestly.
One thing about Rocky Boots, what a brazen name. If you're naming your company that's boots, Rocky Boots, all automatically, I think the Rocky Mountains. If they are good enough for you to go to the Rocky Mountains in, they're good enough for you to go to Lowe's in. That is a fact, and it is undisputed.
What a lie.
Rockyboots.com, the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off on your next pair.
25%.
25% is legit discount.
Get the out of here.
Some companies have like 10%, and you're like, oh, that's cute. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's better than nothing. But when you get 25%, you're really ponying up, and I appreciate that.
Indeed.
True.
Yeah. All right.
Let's start it. It feels like this week is long. Last week felt super short, like it went by really fast. This week is dragging for me. I was so tired yesterday. I took a nap.
Wow.
Took a nap. I never take naps. Took a nap on my bed and everything.
Yeah. What time of the day? Was this like middle of the day?
It was 5:30.
Ooh, so the 5:30 nap is a dangerous nap, because if you let it go too long, then you're just wired for the whole night. So unless you're like me or Kate and you're getting ready to gear up for a night out on the town, the 5:30 nap is just not advisable.
Still managed to fall asleep at 10:20.
Well, and that tells me you were very tired.
I was a tired boy yesterday. Yeah. I don't know what it's going on over here.
Could be all the work.
That's the way it was. Wifey's birthday was yesterday. Also, Sprinkle Dankle's birthday was yesterday. Oh. She turned 1 year old. So that was nice to have a little joint party for the squad. That was a good time.
Hey, lovely wife. Here, share this birthday with a cat.
She wanted to. And Gus's birthday is my birthday. So we both share.
When Spork's birthday rolls around, I'm getting a moon bounce. I'm getting a keg. We're having a whole big thing. I'm going to ask the NYPD if I can shut this street down. I'm having a block party.
Spork's you know birthday. What you do? You should redo that DaBaby video with the lady that shakes her butt cheeks in the air.
I'm just going to have everybody bring their cats. We'll do that same video, but with all the cats. Still all the booty shaking. But
I don't remember what that song's called, but it's a bop, as Trent would say.
I know I feel like the last few episodes especially, I'm like, look at what a dirtbag I am. This week, can I talk about what happened yesterday to me?
Just so long as you tell me you brushed your teeth this week.
I have not today, but I will as soon as the show's over. But I did last night. But this was the first week back at the office for those who are in New York. And I went in yesterday and I'm shooting a video for something. And one of the jokes is that there's this like secret smoking area on the second floor where it's a stairwell. So, but it's known for like anybody who does a little smoke dabbling, cigarettes, weed, whatever. Sativa, fine Sativa. They go to this stairwell. And so part of the joke was that I go out there to see if anyone's there. Somebody's there. They pass me a joint and I take a big hit of it. And I was really only trying to just hold it in my mouth to blow, like, because I had a line that I was supposed to say while smoke came out of my mouth. That was the joke. And instead, the camera guy panned the camera away from me. So I was like, well, shit. So I accidentally then just breathed it all in. And when he panned back, I breathed it out. So I took this huge hit of weed from somebody who is I'll dabble in edibles. I'm not a huge smoker of weed. So I took a huge hit of this weed. It's like 2 in the afternoon. And all immediately, as soon as I blew it out, my temples got all warm and I was like, oh no. I, within 10 minutes, was on the fucking moon. And then I had to do radio with Chaps. I had to like, coming home, I kind of don't, I was like in such a fog. And they're like, don't worry, Kate, it's a really creative strain. I had nothing good that came out of my brain for the next 5 hours. It was like nightmare fuel. I came home, I ate a ton of food. I took like sleeping pills and I was like, I just want to sleep through this and get like just melatonin. But I was like, I just want to sleep this off. This is not my vibe at all.
I don't know enough about marijuana. How do they make it so, okay, yeah, this is a creative strain or this is a, you know, you're going to go work out really hard strain. How do they do that?
I think some people are just built in a way that it affects them differently. And for me, I like, it's purely recreational. I can never take it and be like, I'm going to write a play. Like, it's like, nope, I'm going to eat like 15 bags of Skittles and then stare at my wall for a minute.
And yeah. Take a bath.
So you're not going to knock out that screenplay that's been bouncing around in your brain for the last 2 years?
Not yet. But anyway, I feel like that made that period of time yesterday stretched on for what felt like a week. And so I feel like this week was super fucking long for some reason. Like, yeah, not great.
And before we go really any further, we have to address the elephant in the room. Cons, why the fuck are you dressed like that?
Yeah.
Well, short week for me. I got like a real vibrant, flowery shirt, and I got one of my golf bucket hats. It is one of the best weeks of the year. It is the weekend that I have my Army Football Letterman's Club golf outing. And despite COVID, we are still playing, albeit with a very, 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 very small group of guys on Saturday. And all the festivities surrounding the weekend aren't still happening, so it's just the golf, and that's kind of a bummer, but it still got me excited because I decided that since I was going away, Alex said, you know what, all right, I'll go home to see my parents this weekend. So as of right now, I am free and clear of making and considering anyone else when making plans this weekend. So I am playing golf today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and I could not be more excited. The activities aside, it's just, and you, Chaps, you can hopefully relate to this. When you're with someone, like, you have to consider them at every turn. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to go do this today, especially on the weekends, especially during COVID when there's not much else to do. So instead of having to consider another person's feelings or their desires for what they want to do on the weekend, I get to just go do whatever the heck I want this weekend.
Oh, really, I disagree. I'm big time selfish. I only think about myself.
Yeah. I will say, Cons, it seems cool for a few days, but after a while, it does get old. I will tell you that much.
As Kate weeps into another bowl of cereal.
Indeed.
Let's move on to the actual show.
Sure.
Get going with what's going on. It's going to start with some positive news. Hijacking, Kate, what happened?
Hijacking, and honestly, it was kind of, I know it's not funny to whoever it happened to, but just that, to me, it almost seemed like a movie, something out of a movie scene. Like, I think about in Clueless, where she goes down to the valley to make at the liquor, and the guy comes up to her and whatever. This story just kind of made me laugh, because it's like such a classic, putting yourself in this soldier's shoes and having to make that phone call and tell somebody what just happened. This is one of those moments that kind of made me laugh a little bit. So, two men in Arkansas allegedly stole an Army Humvee at gunpoint on Monday before they subsequently flipped the vehicle into a ditch about an hour later. And just that line alone, two Arkansas men stealing a Humvee at gunpoint. You're like, how the fuck did this happen? A civilian mechanic working for the Army Reserve took the Humvee out for a test drive and later stopped to see whether he could assist some people dealing with a broken down vehicle on the side of the road. This shows how well I read the story, because it was not a soldier. It was a civilian. Again, Katie.
That's fine.
Old Katie Smokestack yesterday. What are you going to do? So this civilian is fixing up the Humvee. He takes it out for a spin. He sees somebody broken down on the side of the road, so he pulls over to help, which I'm going to say, kind of a wild move in a Humvee. I feel like,
There's certain cars that you don't do it in.
Right.
Like, you don't stop over. Like, if you're driving a Bradley down I-95, you're not pulling over to help somebody change the tire on their Ford Taurus.
Exactly.
You're just not.
And you're going to take up a little more room on the shoulder than other vehicles. You know, it's not the best idea. So this guy.
What if you lose your Humvee keys?
Yeah. This guy or gal sees them broken over on the side. And if there's a box of grid squares in the back of it, you don't want them to lose that.
And God forbid,
what about if you're loaded down with blinker fluid?
Exactly.
Or, if they had a bunch of exhaust samples, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Got to get those back to the lab as soon as you can.
Exactly. So a lot of stuff, a lot of reasons you don't want to pull a Humvee over. Now, so this person pulls the Humvee over to help these people out. Well, guess what? They didn't really need assistance. The two men ended up pulling a gun on the reserve employee when he approached their car, and one of them took the Humvee then, and the other drove off in the truck that was supposedly stalled on the side of the road. So all of a sudden, the civilian is standing there watching the Humvee and the broken down car zip off down the road. And that's a phone call where I just feel like you die a little bit inside, where you're like, this civilian! not great.
What an outrageously stupid vehicle to steal, though.
Yes. So that's what I was going to say.
If you're going to steal a vehicle, a blue F-250 in Texas where there's a million of them, not a fucking Humvee. That one sticks out.
Yeah, well, not only that, I think it was really popularized when Arnold Schwarzenegger had his own Hummer, and it was like, wow, that's a cool thing to drive. And before anyone gets into the military, they think like, oh, driving a Humvee, that'll be cool. And civilians probably still think, wow, that's cool. Once you drive a Humvee and you realize how terrible those things drive, they're the worst.
They are so uncomfortable.
And they only go like 60 miles an hour max.
They don't go fast.
Where are you getting away from?
Have you ever been in a Humvee? Have you ever been in a Humvee where the AC works? No.
No.
It's terrible. It's bumpy. You feel every freaking crack in the road. The steering sucks. It's just not a good vehicle to steal at all.
And I don't know if they had their flax and Kevlars, which they would be violating a lawful order and not wearing it if they stole it.
Well, what also stood out to me, and this is just speculation here, but was it an inside job? Because who takes a Humvee out without an A driver?
When is that
happening? Because that's a little
strange.
And
how did they steal it if he had his stop chocks in place?
Exactly. True. Were his chalk blocks under the wheels? Yeah. Apparently not. So there's a lot of fishiness going on with this thing. But that reminded me, we covered this on CBT before. Remember in 2018, that Army National Guard, it was First Lieutenant Joshua Yabbitt, he stole an armored personnel carrier and drove it for a whole hour to the Richmond City Hall in Virginia. Remember that? It's like a big ass tank with like the tracks.
That was a lieutenant?
It was a first lieutenant, yes. A National Guard first lieutenant.
Wow.
That makes it so much better.
I know. I mean, you just assume that's like a specialist, private first class, something.
Yeah.
First lieutenant, not even a boot ass second lieutenant. First lieutenant, doing. He's been in for 2 years.
Yeah, and an armored personnel carrier is like, I know, like, I'm afraid to say it's a tank because then we get all the tank artists. Actually, it's this. But it's a fucking giant tank. And the guy drove at like 40 miles an hour for an hour with like 100 million police cars behind him, got out, and he told.
Because what are they going to do?
Right. What are they going to do? But he legit drove it right up to Richmond City Hall and then like parked it and hopped out. His thing was, he was like, no, my command asked me to do this so we could gauge what the police response would be. He said he did it. So they could.
I don't hate that excuse.
Such a good excuse. The command was like, no, that's actually false. But
you know where they wish they would have gone? They wish they would have went to that small town in West Virginia that has the Bradley. Now's our time to shine.
It's hard to tell these days which is just a stolen tank and which small town police department just happens to have one.
Because it's so prevalent that so many police places have police
and they all have Bradley and they all have vehicles. DARE stickers on the back.
Yeah, if you see an MRAP with a DARE sticker, it's probably if you steal an MRAP, put a DARE sticker on it. People will think it's just a police vehicle.
Is that Scruff McGruff driving?
Chicago, Illinois, 84652. Yeah. Who, by the way, the actual Scruff McGruff crime dog in the original suit ended up being a big-time drug dealer, I think. So that's cool. Also, this sent me down a rabbit hole. In 2019, a drunk man got 8 years in prison for driving a World War II Soviet tank all over a Polish town while under the influence of alcohol.
I think you got to let him go. I think that flies.
I agree. You just wave it on and say, there goes Sven, that old whippersnapper.
As long as he didn't really fuck up anybody and he didn't really ruin any businesses, and it's just like a turnip field in Poland, I think you're good.
Well, I love how this one happened. The 49-year-old was responsible for loading the 40-ton vehicle onto a transport, but the ramp broke. So instead, he was like, fuck it. He just drove it all over this town, a T-55 World War II tank. So,
well, the frustration that must take place there when you're trying to get this big vehicle up on a ramp and it breaks, he's probably sweaty as shit. I think that's the same thing of coming home and finding your spouse in bed with somebody else. It's a crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
When something that you're doing, that level of concentration, and it falls apart, you should be able to do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
You get a case of the
crime
fuckets.
Of passion.
Right, you get a case of the fuckets.
Throw your hands up and just get going. $1 billion
Your
idea.
Honor. Also, you have to understand how hot it was outside. It was 98 degrees, 80% humidity. I couldn't get this thing going.
That's
case dismissed.
That's why I don't kind of blame these two men in Arkansas, because they were probably waiting for a run-of-the-mill average Joe Schmo to pull over and maybe just take their wallet or something.
Yep.
When a military Humvee, they're like, oh my God. When a military Humvee is a thing that pulls over to help you, you're like, we have to. Like, we have to.
Sorry. Hands are tied.
Sorry. We got to do this for the story.
Billion-dollar idea. I've said this before, but billion-dollar idea. And I really want to get the Bradley fighting vehicles involved in this now, too. I need someone to buy a very large town. And it's like an adult theme park where you get to go and be involved in police chases. So I would get to go drive a car and try to evade police. And you get to, like, pick your vehicle that you get to try to evade the police.
I think we talked about that Russian, it's supposed to be like an amusement park, but it's all military shit. Like, you can hunt in the mount town. Yeah, that's like a legit thing, so.
I've long said.
That was one of the most fun courses I ever got to do. Kate's probably taken the emergency vehicle operator course as well, where you learn how to drive police cars and things like that. I got to do the one that I did both of them. I did one at the DEA Academy and one at the FBI Academy. And you got to go fast as fuck. Mm-hmm. If you were doing, like, you know, the turnabouts that they do in, like, Bourne Identity and whatever, if you didn't pop your tires in the DEA course, they're like, you didn't take an aggressive enough turn. You had to pop your tires so you knew what it was like at the end.
We got to do the speeding backwards, hit the brakes, and do that spin thing, and I had a big boner.
Love it.
That was so much fun.
Yeah. If we have any listeners in the DEA who want to take me along for a ride in this course, I would be more than happy to come and see
the
what
DEA,
kind of
they like get. They don't get a lot of attention just because it's like drugs and shit, but their training compound just outside of Quantico is unbelievable.
Is that like
right? Like their mount town and stuff is so much fun. When we would get to do canine training in the DEA's academy, incredible. It was just so much fun the entire day because they had such a huge budget that it's like a town. Like it's the mount town legit have like banks and like a Baskin Robbins and all kinds of shit in there.
Dear DEA, I will lay off the weed if you'll have us over for an afternoon.
Yeah, they're going to get you in there. I wonder if, what was that name of that lady? That was there to talk to Detective Boner.
Yeah, she called herself like Detective like Secret Penis or something. Yeah. The lady who claimed she was a little bit nutty.
Yeah, I don't remember that
Agent
story.
Penis. Agent Penis.
Agent Penis. That's right. Yes. Longtime Stoolie Agent
brick
Penis.
Brick by brick Agent Penis.
Boner by Boner.
Yeah, if you don't know what that's about, just Google Agent Penis on your work computer. Yeah.
Pause the show. Do it now. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. We're going to move on to round two. We'll wait for you to come back. Let's go to round two. Secret agent penis. All right, round number two.
What show was that?
What?
Secret agent penis.
Oh no, that was from Wait, or was
that's
that from
an Owen Gray flick?
No, but Secret Agent Man, that song.
Austin Powers.
Charlie's. It's in Austin Powers. Is it also in Charlie's Angels?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hard to say.
Continue. Sorry.
Hard to say. All right, round number two. Tammy Duckworth news. You guys, Kyle and Cons, are a little bit fired up about this story. Senator Tammy Duckworth will hold more than 1,100 military promotion, 1,100 for those keeping score at home. Military promotions in place despite Wednesday's announcement. Oh my God! Wednesday's announcement that the retirement of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who you might remember from the big time impeachment trials, he was essentially like the star witness that was on the phone. He is the translator that was talking to, that was on the phone whenever the president of what country was? Oh, of Ukraine was talking. So he's actually Ukrainian, knows Ukrainian, and now he is a lieutenant colonel here.
And
he was getting
to bring it up. So he announced his retirement, and as soon as he did, Tammy Duckworth said, "I'm putting a bunch of promotions on hold right now."
Well, it was before he announced his retirement because he wasn't going to get promoted to colonel, and they were saying it was presidential interference that wasn't going to allow him to achieve the rank of colonel.
Okay.
Even though by all measures he had done the things that were needed to get promoted, they put a hold on these other ones until she could conduct an investigation in the Senate.
Okay.
And the House was going to have one as well. The Illinois Democrat announced on Tuesday or on Thursday that amid concerns that Vindman did not receive a promotion to the rank of colonel in retaliation for his testimony before the House last year. Vindman, a former Ukraine expert to the National Security Council, was ousted from his White House job after his November testimony, in which he validated many of the concerns raised by the whistleblower whose report sparked the impeachment inquiry. Reports have suggested that Trump, who has publicly attacked Vindman, pressured the Pentagon to block the promotion. This is what Duckworth said. Through a campaign of bullying, intimidation, and retaliation, the president attempted to force Lieutenant Colonel Vindman to choose between adhering to the law or pleasing a president. Vindman's patriotism has cost him his career. Oh, that's actually from Vindman's attorney. Mm-hmm. The hold instituted by Duckworth, a retired officer who lost both of her legs while serving in the Iraq War, applies to 1,123 scheduled promotions of officers to the rank of colonel or Navy captain or above. Duckworth said last week that she would lift the hold once the defense secretary, Mark Esper, assured her that in writing that Vindman would be shielded from retaliation, which I don't think I use this phrase all the time. There's essentially two schools of thought on this. I don't believe that the president should be involved in promotions to the rank of colonel, even though colonel is a high rank, like it is. Mm-hmm. A colonel should never be on the president's radar. Ever.
No, there's too many of them.
Yeah, there's thousands of colonels that are in the United States government.
Even though you don't see them walking around your base all that often.
Right.
Yeah. So let me break this down dummy style, because I'm a fucking idiot and it's very confusing to me. There's a lot of moving parts to this. So basically, he provided testimony, was kind of a whistleblower against shady stuff he thought was going on between the Trump campaign and the Ukraine. Okay, so he testifies. And then it looks like through bullying and intimidation, he either didn't get his promotion or he decided to retire. So Senator Duckworth is like, we're looking into this. And until I figure it out, nobody's getting promoted 06 and above. Is that right? Am I?
Yes. So a senator has the right to put a hold on promotion.
I didn't know
for
that.
Any reason.
I did not know that until today.
Yeah, they can attach it to bills. They can do all those types of things. There's many different legislative tools in their tool belt where they can stop to get attention on a cause if they want to. Usually they don't fuck with military promotions because that looks bad. That inherently just looks really, really bad.
Right.
But there is certain people who I feel like can do it and not look as bad. If you're going to do this, you better not be somebody like Rand Paul, who is like a gynecologist or something like that. You can't do that if you're Rand Paul and you're a physician. If you're Tammy Duckworth and you got to the Senate based on your American heroism and being a fighter or a helicopter pilot who lost both of her legs and has gone on to do great things in politics, you have a little more standing to do that. Like whenever somebody, it was like when McCain would come out and talk about being against torture.
Yeah.
When McCain is talking about being against torture, it weighs so much more than when somebody else does it. I think it's the same thing with Tammy Duckworth here saying, nobody's getting promoted until we get to the bottom
of
this.
So what's the next thing then? It's just kind of a back and forth right now?
Yeah, it's really a show. I think that it's a political show for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and there is money involved. But we all know, like military stuff, if your promotion was held back, they're going to get back pay. They're going to get all those things. Sure. Moves aren't happening right now. PCS moves aren't happening anyway. They're going to get all that back pay. And let's be honest, if you're an 05, are you really struggling financially? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be some that are, but if they are, you need to take math for Marines and finance for Marines because you should not be struggling on
again,
an 05 paycheck.
I feel like for a lot, once you're at that level, that's kind of your main focus is getting promoted to the next level, the politics.
Even if you're if you're an E1 and your promotion to E2 gets held up,
you're furious.
You're pissed.
No, but so here's the thing. I mean, people need to realize, even to get to the rank of 05, Lieutenant Colonel, you're 20 plus years at that point, or very close to 20 years. So to get to 06, you've obviously made the concerted effort.
That's your life.
You're like, all right, this is what I want to do. So I just feel for all these other guys. Like you said, yeah, they'll get back pay and it'll eventually their promotions will go through. But it's just a little bit of an annoying thing to have to deal with just based on one other person. It's like, you know, they say when everyone gets punished for the actions of one, it's just really, really tough to swallow sometimes, especially because reaching the rank of 06, as we mentioned, like, yeah, there's thousands, but relative to the ranks in the Army, there aren't that many. So it's just a little bit of an annoyance for these other gentlemen and ladies who are waiting on that promotion.
And I think of myself, if I like to be honest, I'm a pretty intuitive guy. I have pretty good judgment right away. When Vindman tweeted out his picture, I have to admit, it took me like 45 seconds to get what he was doing there. Did you guys get it? Did you see the picture that he tweeted out that I like to announce my retirement? Did you see it?
I couldn't stop looking. I couldn't stop looking at his shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing like a, he's an officer on the weekend at the mall, button up shirt, like whatever. He looks kind of like a dork. What's he doing there?
So he said, I'm on to the next chapter. He's sitting in front of a computer.
Oh, he's writing a book.
He's saying, I'm writing a book. Like he's essentially saying, I'm getting kicked out. The president treated me unfairly. I'm on to the next chapter. My book deal's coming.
Hey,
which I think is fucking tasteless, man. But, like it's just, you have to, if he wants to write his book, write your book. Take your money, do whatever you got to do. Like if somebody said, hey, Chaps, we'll give you $2 million to write a book about your life. Buddy, I'm doing that every fucking time. You better believe it. But be above the fray until you're actually out of uniform. You filed for retirement. You're not fucking retired, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You're not retired.
Have a little more decorum than that, than to go on.
Wait until you're actually, when that DD-214 drops on your desk, take whatever pictures on Twitter you want to.
Well, maybe,
but for right now, you're still a fucking lieutenant colonel.
Well, maybe it was more of a shot, as hacky as you want to say it is, maybe it was more of a shot at Trump and his cabinet saying, well, okay, fine, but I'm coming for you, and I'm going to spill all the beans that
I still think is, like, be above the fray. Like, I think it was the same thing with Comey, like, Comey writing his book. You have the opportunity to make your judgment and your intelligence and your wisdom shine through by not being petty as fuck. Even if you look on the other side and you think, the way that the president's coming at me is very petty, don't respond in kind, because then you always have that. History will always look at you at not having that in-kind return and being above the fray. All these people are failing at doing
it. Oh, I'm a dumb Chaps, little bitch. Takes, I would write the book.
No, so
sure.
It's a lot harder to take the
high road. Oh, yeah, it'd be tough.
No, it takes a lot. It's a lot harder to take the high road, right? Because ultimately, I think when history comes back to view you and your decision, they'll view you in a positive light. But that takes a lot longer than just being petty and going right back at the person. So I think it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to take that high road. It's much easier said than done.
Everybody hates Comey. Like you, Comey's the only person in the history of the world who could post a caption of Psalms 23 and everybody's like, fuck you, James, you piece of shit.
I would also say shame on you guys for assuming. How do we know he's not writing a children's book? Maybe on to the next chapter. Maybe he's writing a Bigfoot erotica fan fiction. We don't know.
Awesome.
Pastor Chaps, Psalms 23. Mm. What is that? How does that start?
Though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, thou art with me is the beginning of it.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Damn it. I should have known that. That is where my Bible knowledge has really fell off. The actual hiding it in my heart so I might not sin against thee. I have not done that lately. That hand up, that's me, Chef, to a T.
In your defense, the statement that you made is part of Psalm 23. It's just not the beginning of it.
Yeah, that's tough. One more thing. This was my favorite piece of news because Alexander Vindman's brother is also in the army. He's also a lieutenant colonel, and his name is Yevgeny. But do you know what the translation of Yevgeny into English is?
No.
Eugene. How about that?
Wow.
Eugene is Yevgeny. Every Yevgeny that you've ever known is officially Eugene. Unbelievable.
That's fantastic.
Let's move on to round three.
All right, for round number three, a little bit of science and tech. We know that math and all that stuff is my strong point, so I decided to throw that in here. Flying cars. It's the Jetsons finally coming to life, and I couldn't be more excited for it, especially here in New York City. The Air Force is pursuing flying cars, and it's for real this time. Now there's a real opportunity for small businesses to get involved. They're holding a virtual trade show to explore concepts in the next few weeks at a community Air Force Innovators conference kind of thing. And basically, if you are a small tech firm...
I hate the way the Air Force fucking phrases things.
I had to...
They're the worst.
Oh, yeah. I just had to skip over like 15. There's like all sorts of different
Words that all sound... Research Laboratory based in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Get at a virtual trade show to explore concepts in the community, innovators. Shut up, Air Force. Just say we're talking flying cars.
Yeah.
Just say that Flying Cars Expo,
well, sorry,
that puts asses
but
in the
they've
seats.
Dubbed it Agility Prime. Okay.
Oh,
so
God.
Agility what? Prime, move aside,
this
Optimus.
Is this Transformers?
Yes, Agility Prime. Okay, so
more than meets the eyes.
Yeah. Anyways, they have partnered with the flying car industry, I suppose, on a series of live fly challenges in late April. I wish I could watch as all these small tech firms showing off like their flying car technology or their like advanced drone technology and all that stuff. Like, I bet that's actually cool as shit. And it almost sounds like a kind of Shark Tank where yeah. they've given like all these businesses the opportunity to come show us. I like to think it's like a line of what I would have is three high-ranking officers but then two, like, 01s to be like, that's fucking badass, or like, oh, that's fucking lame. Like, I would like...
No, I think you should get some, like, lance corporals or specialists that are in separations platoon.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be fully honest about what they're seeing, you know?
Yeah,
fuck
like,
this.
No, that's just
look
dumb.
These fucking nerds, whatever, man. But basically, $10 million worth of contracts could be awarded within 90 days, and the focus is on flying car technologies. Bottom line, the Air Force wants participants to explore potential commercial products being developed for medical evacuations, firefighting, disaster response, search, rescue, humanitarian relief operations. But this is one of those things we talk about on the show time and time again. Oftentimes, military technology slowly inks its way into the civilian life. And I think, mm-hmm. I'm going to call it, ZBT episode in 2040, we'll be talking about the problems with our flying cars. Chaps will have a flying car stolen from him. In 2040, that is
what
my guess.
I'll do a DIY,
yeah.
DIY goofing on my flying car. Exactly. I put fender flares on my flying car.
You'll be putting rotor blade flares on your flying car. That'll yeah. be the thing. But the
flying
the,
car, very cool. Here's the problem with flying cars, though. Hmm. When you consider, just I'll take the Air Force as an example. I didn't know this. I Googled this. I was like, how long is flight school in the Air Force to fly a jet? 22 weeks to learn how to fly a jet. I don't think
that's
we're going to have.
Long.
I mean, five and a half months of intense training. It's pretty, I think that's pretty long.
I mean, it's 13 weeks to learn how to handle a dog.
Okay. My point is that I think once we have flying cars, I don't think the regular average Joe Schmo civilian is going to get 22 weeks to learn how to fly a flying car. And there's going to be accidents galore. Sorry.
What does the learning permit for that even look like?
I don't know.
All I know is the one I'm looking at right now, you know how the drones have the four little like protected yeah. helicopter things and then mm-hmm. underneath where the camera goes, that area underneath where the camera goes, blow up the drone and make it the size of like a living room. It's like almost like a little pod that holds the person underneath. Almost looks like a little motorcycle seat and you sit there and that's how you fly around and control it. I want one. I don't care how many accidents I get in. I'm all for it. I want this.
So it's like everybody has their own personal Osprey.
Yes.
Yes.
You're like flying in your own little drone. And to me, oh my God.
I love
it.
The idea of who the people they mentioned would use it. Medical evacuation, firefighters, disaster response. I think it's awesome for those people. I just question how many civilians would be safe driving these things.
You know what
that
I
said. That said, I still want one.
Yeah.
You got to put parking assist on that. No way you can drive it into the city and learn how to parallel park that easily.
Well, remember the show Cheaters with Joey Greco?
Oh,
and
who does
our it? Other puck. Oh my God, yes. But imagine that show, but the couple's cheating, they're like canoodling in a parking lot, and all of a sudden I land in this fucking drone. I'm like, gotcha, bitch. Like, I just really love the idea of having one.
Speaking of.
Yeah, but if you're yelling at somebody and you come out and they have the rotor wash, then your hair's all messed up and you don't look nearly as intimidating.
That's true. I wear my bicycle helmet.
True.
Okay.
Really quickly, speaking of the show Cheaters, one of our sister podcast, Dog Walk from Eddie in Chicago.
Just
recently interviewed the guy who created the show.
Oh, yeah. So I used to have the t-shirt. That's where I think flying car technology is going, cheater shows. So I'm looking forward to it. Hmm.
Interesting. All right. Let's move on to round number four. We're going to do a little quiz goofing.
Ooh. Okay. This is a quiz that I created, so you know it's going to be good. And I every single question.
Wait, was this post-weed or pre-weed?
This was last evening when it started, and I finished it today. And so the idea that came about, Chaps was like, why don't you pick a certain country and quiz us about that? I just ended up, every single one of these questions is from a different website, and it was stuff I didn't know that I thought was interesting. So I'm quizzing you guys about it, because I didn't know any of these things. So I want to see if you guys know. All right, number one, and this is the same, I'm going to give you options, and you... buzz in. Give me a beep, beep, beep.
Okay.
I'll decide. All right. Number one, The sinking of this ocean liner during the final moments of World War II in Europe was the deadliest maritime disaster in history.
Oh,
it was. Oh, you already know? I'll accept it. Go ahead, Cons. You beeped.
Shit. Oh, shit. Now I'm blanking. I know it, but now I'm blanking. Shit, it was...
Three.
Ah.
Two. One.
The Andrea Doria?
Nope. All right, Chaps, I'm going to give you the options. The Wilhelm Gustloff, the Lusitania, the Yamato...
The Lusitania, damn it! That's the answer. You can give it to Chaps.
No. I'm not done.
Okay.
The Wilhelm Gustloff, the Lusitania, the Yamato aircraft carrier, or the General von Steuben ocean liner? Which of these was the deadliest maritime disaster in history at the end of World War II?
D.
The General von Steuben ocean liner? No, it is A, the Wilhelm Gustloff. And it was sunk on January 30th, 1945 by a Soviet submarine in the Baltic Sea. And 9,400 people on board died.
Jeez.
9,400 people. It's the largest loss of life in a single ship in history. And it was German armed military transport ship. So they were evacuating German civilian refugees from East Prussia. And the Soviets took it down with civilians on board, almost 10,000. So I did not know that. Nice. I had never
heard know that either. To correct myself, I was thinking the Andrea Doria from the episode of Seinfeld when George is trying to get the apartment, and that actually happened in 1956. So I was way off.
Yeah, I did not know. I knew like Lusitania, Titanic. I know a couple shipwrecks. Okay.
Wow.
I did not know this one. All right, number two. This Shawnee chief led what was arguably the most formidable pan-Native American military force in North America. So this Shawnee chief pretty much united all, like, a ton of different tribes together, and he helped capture Detroit without firing a single shot. Was it
City Bowl? Present-day Detroit?
Present-day? No, not present-day Detroit. And the answer is not Eminem. Was it Chief Sitting Bull, Chief Tecumseh, Chief Geronimo, or Chief Pontiac?
Beep, 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 beep.
Go ahead, Cons.
Chief Tecumseh?
Yes, that is correct. He allied with the British Army invading the Northwest Territory from Upper Canada. He joined British generals and did the Siege of Detroit. And here's something really interesting. While the British were approaching the front of, there was like a fort at Detroit, while they're approaching the front of it, Tecumseh had about 400 warriors, and he had them parade out from a nearby wood and circle back in and repeat the maneuver over and over. So those on the fort thought there was way, way, way more than there actually was. So he made it seem by this constant circulation that there were like thousands of them.
You know what they call that move?
No.
Tactical Red Rover.
They did a tactical Red Rover.
What a great game that was growing up.
Yeah.
And so Brigadier General William Hall, who was the fort commander, he saw how many there was and he surrendered in fear of a massacre. So they didn't have to fire a single shot. They looked at what
then
Chief
you feel
Tecumseh,
like an absolute idiot
when only 400
people walk out.
They actually, the Chief Tecumseh walked out and was like, "I got your goose. I got your goose." And they were all laughing. They're like, "All right, you got us, LOL." So it was all a big thing. All right.
Started talking with their butt cheeks, aspirin.
Yeah. All right. Number three. So these were just interesting to me. I didn't know.
No, yeah, these are good.
All right.
We're good so far.
Number three. What kind? We all know the Enola Gay did what, gentlemen?
Drop the bomb, the bomb in Hiroshima.
Yes, okay. But what kind of aircraft was it? Was it a B-29 Superfortress, a B-69 Liberator, a B-420 Stratosmoker, or a B-So-Fine Flying Buttress? I'm going to give it to Chaps on this one.
A.
It was the B-29 Superfortress. I did like the B-69 Liberator. I actually own one of those. All right.
Well.
Number four. Disease accounted for a hugely disproportionate number of casualties in this 19th century war. So much so that nursing pioneer Florence Nightingale was enlisted to improve conditions in military hospitals. Which war did disease count for, like, pretty much the majority of the casualties? Was it Civil War, World War I, Bride Wars, great movie with Katherine Heigl, or Crimean War? I'm going to have to give it to Cons.
Civil War.
Wrong, Chaps.
It was a Crimea War.
That is correct. Death rates due to the disease were appalling. 90% of fatalities. 90% were from disease there. Britain's nightingale allegedly reduced the death rate from 42% to 2% by making simple improvements like washing our hands before we chop someone's limb off. Like, basically, it was simple hygiene was the thing that, and she was the one who came in there and said, hey, men, hey, dumb, dumb men, you need a woman here. I'm here with my vagina, and I'm going to tell you what to do. Anyways.
Bonus, for a bonus, what is the Florence Nightingale syndrome? Chaps.
What?
Florence Nightingale syndrome?
Or Florence Nightingale effect.
You have to wash your hands every 5 minutes.
Kyle, it sounds like you know it. What is it?
When a patient falls in love with the nurse or caretaker.
They did call her the lady with the lantern because she was so constant in the night going through making sure people were okay. She was a badass lady. Bonus, what was the Crimean War? Can anybody describe it? Explain it in any way?
It was the war in Crimea.
That is correct. Yeah, Kyle for the win. So Russia was putting pressure on Turkey, which threatened the British commercial and strategic interests in the Middle East, and India and France. So everybody got all bustled up. They had a big old war, and that was the thing. Who knows? Anyways, number five. More than 3,500 service members have received the Medal of Honor. Which military branch has the most? You could just beep in on this one if you know.
Beep, beep, beep.
Chaps.
It would be the Army.
That is correct. By branch, the Army has 2,404, Navy 746, Marine Corps 297, Air Force 17, Coast Guard 1. According to this chart.
Coast Guard, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I should look up what that one is because I had no idea.
It was from
Iwo Jima.
Guadalcanal.
Wasn't it from Iwo Jima?
Guadalcanal. There was a guy who saw a bunch of Marines on a beach, and they were like about to be overrun by the Japanese, and he took his little boat landing craft type thing and drove right up on that beach and was like, hey dudes, we're gonna get the fuck out of here. And he saved a bunch of Marines. Really cool story.
That's awesome.
Hey guys, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, get in, bitches.
Hey, get in, this party's lame. Hey, bro. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's blow this popsicle stand.
Jitterbug.
That's the way it went. Also, bonus, do you know which conflict the American was involved in that had the most Medal of Honor recipients?
Oh, I would say which conflict?
Yep.
World War One.
Cons?
I'd say World War Two.
Yeah.
It is the Civil War. By far, the Civil War had 1,522. Next up following that would be World War Two, followed by the Native American, they call them here the Indian campaigns, the Native American campaigns with 426.
Not to take away from any of the Medal of Honor recipients of the Civil War, but didn't the requirements toughen as time went on?
Oh, yeah, drastically changed.
Wait. You see it less and less.
Well, they didn't have nearly as many, too. Like, you didn't have Silver Star, Bronze Star, Navy Cross. You didn't have all those either.
There's also 193 non-combat-related Medal of Honors. I didn't know that either.
Really?
Yep, that is correct. Also, final bonus question, and this was given to me by a West Pointer. Fellow West Pointer con, so pay attention. Which building on West Point's campus is known for its secret basement chamber where seniors go to slack off? Is it a secret skating area on West Point? Was it the Cadet Chapel? Was it Pershing Barracks, Mahan Hall, or Bartlett Hall? Cons?
See, I didn't slack off, so I don't know.
Your campus.
My guess is Mahan Hall.
Wrong. Boy, what a nerd. If you weren't invited, you're a big old loser.
You're gonna go with Bartlett Hall.
That is correct, chaps. That's right. Bartlett Hall, secret chamber in Bartlett Hall. If you don't know, you weren't cool enough. No offense.
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Interesting. I just made that one up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Allow me to pull a Chief Tecum say and say, got your goose.
I thought you were going to go with where the lady who hangs out in the bathroom at Hogwarts was.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going with. That.
You know why that doesn't make any sense? That's like where all like the science labs are and stuff. So it makes no sense that that's where the cool kids would hang out.
Ooh, shots fired.
All the cool kids at West Point.
Yeah. The abundance of cool kids.
Indeed.
The Zach Morris of West Point.
I would say West Point is the Zach Morris of, and who is Screech? Which academy is Screech? I'm going to say the Citadel. Sorry.
I was going to say Merchant Marine.
Yeah, the Citadel's up there too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're an academy. Huh?
Air Force Academy is Kelly Kapowski for sure. Hot patoots.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Coast Guard, because they're in a nice little spot.
That's true. They're beach bums.
Mm-hmm.
I need one of you to write that blog. The Service Academies that Saved by the Bell characters.
Dibs.
Yeah. Chaps got it. All right. That's the quiz. I wasn't keeping score very
Jesse
today.
Spano's definitely the Naval Academy.
Yeah.
Which one is like, I gets all hyped up on the happy pills. Which one is that? I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I mean, I would think that'd be the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, I would have said that too.
That's a Marine Corps barracks, a little steroid goofing problem.
True.
What a quiz. Anyway,
Anyways, let's move on to round number five. Huh. We're going to do a little bit of doggy bag. Did you guys get any from the Twitter accounts or no?
I just figured that you were answering them yesterday. I wasn't sure if you had any particular that stood out.
One of the ones that I'll talk about first is there was somebody who asked me if you have a dog that's abused from a shelter. That was a great question. Yeah, the dog comes in, you know that it's abused, and you have it, and you can't do physical corrections at all, which some people don't like at all anyways. But you can't be really harsh with a dog like that because you can really set them back. Well, one, in a relationship with a dog that is abused, you kind of have to eat the first 2 weeks of what's going on in the house. Like, you have to kind of let them just get adapted that you're a safe person to be around, that you're going to be a protector, you're going to be a provider. Every single time food comes from you, you feed them more times throughout the day. Like, if you're establishing a relationship with a dog that's been abused, cut their foods into like fifths of what you would normally eat, and then give it to them several times. So they know that all food comes from you, providing comes from you, water comes from you, all these good things come from you and you alone. So you can establish a relationship that way. And then make sure that you don't use their name as a correction. That's a big problem that I see with a lot of dog people, like people that have animals, is that they'll use the dog's name as a correction. Like, if Gus did something bad where I'd say, Gus, like really sharp, and then their name becomes a correction, you don't want that. You can use the name as like an intention getter, like Gus, no. And you want the no to be
sharp. It's like how all of us freeze up when we hear our full name, because only bad memories come from that. If I hear like Catherine Lee, I'm like, oh, fuck, what did I do? It's not great. Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. It's the same thing for puppies. And you could see it, like, people that don't do it. And that is really dangerous with a dog that is abused, because say they get out of the house or something and you've been using the name as a correction, they're not coming back because they're scared they're going to get like a beating. Like, they don't want to come back. So you have to use their name that's like a positive thing. That's one big tip.
I liked this one. Somebody asked, my dog won't stop barking at our neighbor behind our house, like a specific neighbor. And our guy Kyle said, the neighbor's probably a serial killer.
Yeah. And you got to trust the dog.
You got to trust the dog there. Also, didn't somebody ask you?
Call the name just to be safe.
Hey, Jeffs, you ever kill a dog?
Yeah, Willie. Hey, Willie D. Yeah. Relax. Relax, guy.
That's a big time thing that they teach us to do at canine school. Is kill dogs. Absolutely murder any other dogs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Unreal.
It's part of the training. That's week four.
I have a question.
It's like swimming week.
I feel like certain dogs don't sniff crotch, but some dogs, man, no matter what, and it makes you feel like you got a weird vagina or something. There's like certain...
No, it's very common, yeah.
So is there a way to like, buddy, get out of that, get your nose out of those flaps?
Well, dogs are actually known to do that more to a vagina that has a higher yeast content. So if you're a lady and you notice that dogs are constantly smelling at your vagina, you might have a yeast infection.
The idea of a woman who can't go anywhere without dogs putting their schnozzes in her.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's up there with...
You got to de-yeast that thing.
That's up there with how bears can smell periods, but...
Yeah.
Chaps, this question was...
A gynecologist has a golden retriever just to see if anybody has yeast infection. Yeah,
like, oh, no, you're good.
Just keeps it in the lobby. Rand Paul, I think, did that.
Why are you putting one of those green bell pepper things there for a fruit drawer inside your vagina? Well, I was listening to ZBT, and Chaps only had a very yeasty vagina.
What does a green bell pepper have to do with anything?
You know those little things that you put, like, the powder in, and you could throw it into your vegetable drawer, and it'll keep the veggies fresh longer?
What?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, Chaps. I do know what you're talking about.
Just
basically
put your vagina in like a Ziploc bag.
Okay. Yeah, more or less,
if you can do that. Chaps, I have a question.
Tie it up with a bread twist tie.
Do dogs instinctually do dogs instinctually like to swim in water, or is it by breed?
No, they actually, most dogs do like it. And dogs know how to swim automatically. Like, they are born knowing how to swim. My favorite story about Saika is, did you know that dogs use their tail as like a rotor?
A little rudder.
Rudder whenever they're swimming, that they'll go around. Saika got his tail cut off like 2 weeks before we went to Iraq because he was a big spinner in his kennel and spun in the concrete kennel so much that there's blood everywhere and he had to get his tail amputated. Well, the tail is part of the spine for the dogs. And the first time that he went swimming was in a place called Bahrain, which had Bahariya. So Lake Bahariya was outside of Fallujah, and he went in to go get a tennis ball because we did a little bit of training. He was looking for bombs and stuff like that and for training. And then I threw a tennis ball into the water for him to go in and get. He had swam a million times in Okinawa and the little back creeks and back little jungle spots and did all that kind of stuff. When he got into the water in Lake Bahariya, he just spun in circles because it was his first time swimming without a tail. He had no idea what to do. I had to dive in there and get him. And then I found out later that that's the lake that Uday Hussein used to dump bodies into. Like, when they would kill Olympians, they would like dump them into that lake.
You actually have mentioned that. I don't remember when. It was probably a long time ago, but you had mentioned that before, that he swam in
that lake. You're
getting
on me for having a story about a carjacking at the top of the show. You're like, well, I'd chop my dog's tail off and then he'd put in a lake with dead bodies. Cool.
It's a military show, Kate.
It's related.
Yeah, so that's okay. Dog goofing. I love the dog questions. I like. I wouldn't mind bringing those back. I actually should do. If something, God forbid, ever happens to my puppy Gus, I might adopt a Malinois and train it on video. And just, I'll train it to do. My dog before I went to Iraq was named Carl, and I had a chocolate lab named Carl that was like my home dog, and I taught him how to find the remote control, like where he would. I trained him on batteries. Where I would hide I would hide the remote control, teach Carl how to find it, and he would go around and find it. All kinds of stuff now. Things after being married for 11 years, I would do scent training for my wife's phone, where my dog could find my wife's phone at any time. My keys, my wallet, all of those things would be a screwdriver, drill bits. That would be very lovely if the dog could find those if I lost it. I'm going out in town. I'm going to do weight training on the dog, and not like where they're doing lifting weights or anything like that, but put a vest on where I could load the dog down with tools and say, come here, I need this drill or whatever. And he has like a toolkit on and where I could just call him whatever I need or go get this. That would be amazing.
That'd be cool. But PSA, I think you've mentioned this and correct me if I'm wrong. Belgian Malinois, not really a breed that most anybody should have.
Right.
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah. Definitely not. You have to know how. See, this is a problem with dog handlers having, like, being for me and how I like my dogs, because I train my dog to a certain level where after a while, he doesn't need corrections hardly for anything ever. Like, Gus doesn't ever do anything wrong because he was trained so well at the beginning. So when I have to do like a little remedial training, like for instance, if Gus is hanging out too close to the dinner table and we're eating, it breaks my family's heart if I just, because all I have to do is go no, and he's like, fuck me. Like, he just feels so disappointed and goes across and like lays by the door and is just super depressed if I just tell him no a little bit. But that's how you want it. You want your dogs to be disciplined so they don't get in trouble. So they are constantly doing what they want to, having those little corrections every now and then. If I had a Mal in our house and my family fell in love with this Mal and I trained a Mal the way that you have to train a Mal, I think my family would hate me. Like, they would legit hate me.
Yeah, because it's not really, roses and butterflies. It's very intense, right?
Yeah, because you have to establish yourself as the dominant figure.
Yeah, because you don't want that Malinois pooping all over your living room.
Or biting you, man. They'll fuck you up, dude. Like, that's the reason why they're police dogs. They will fuck your ass up if you don't have them trained. But it would be nice to have a Malinois like that when I go out of town, to have that. Because Gus is great, but we used to have a pit bull named Rondo. I felt much more comfortable leaving whenever Rondo was here because somebody came inside when I wasn't here and Rondo knew they weren't going to be in here. Gonna be a long day for him, because Rondo was like, I'm gonna protect my fucking mama.
Chaps, have you seen the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, the ending scene of that, Brad Pitt in the movie has his dog exceptionally well-trained, and anyone listening who has watched this movie knows exactly what I'm talking about, where he just makes this sound with his mouth, and the dog does exactly what it needs to do, and it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, so you can imagine what the dog did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So even if you don't want to watch the movie, go Google that ending. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I like the dog in The Guardian.
Yeah, yes. Me too. That's my favorite dog. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to save rounds, alibis. Kate, we'll start with you today.
I really don't have any. That's about it. The first woman is going to be a Green Beret. Apparently, I think it should be anytime this week, which is super fucking cool. There's a couple other neat things. Kyle, what was the... I was trying to find the tweet just now, but I couldn't find it. But there's
a tactical pilot.
Yeah, yes. There's the... I'll figure it out next week when I have the details. I'd rather not splurt it out. But yeah, no, that's it. That's all I got. Great one for me. All
right.
God's... two things real quick. Go back to talking about golf. There was a video that came out this week on all of the Barstool social channels, specifically on Foreplay, and it was A-Rod at the driving range just smoking the ball.
And that was A-Rod?
That was A-Rod, and whoa. He was wearing an Army hat. A-Rod, Army guy. Awesome. And then number two, kind of a bummer, some news came out this week. The Ivy League has made the declaration that they will not have any fall sports this year in 2020. To include, obviously, football. And that's a bummer because Army was slated to play Princeton this year at home. I have a bunch of friends from Princeton that went to Princeton that we're all going to come. There's going to be a huge, big tailgate. So I'm a little bummed out. We're not going to get to play Princeton this year.
Yeah, that's probably guaranteed two games that'll be off your schedule because if the Ivy League's doing it, UTSA is soon to follow because everybody knows UTSA is the Ivy League of South Texas.
I bet there's a lot of closets full of pastel clothes right now going, oh no, we'll never be worn.
Kyle?
I have two things, actually. Oh. I came prepared today. First right. one, Marine Sergeant Tyler Rankin, his body was recovered off of Iwakuni, I believe. He lost his life when he swam out to help two other Marines who got caught in a riptide. So kind of sad.
He saved them.
He was doing something. Put himself or put others above himself. So he was with VMGR 152. I'm not sure what they do, but thoughts to them and his family, and hope everyone's okay. Mm-hmm. Second thing, got a little bit of an idea. Uh-oh. Let's get some reviews on iTunes. And if you leave a review from now until, let's say we record next week, Thursday, anything you write, we'll have Cons read the review. If it's five stars,
like that.
If it's five stars and is not too mean, we'll have Cons read it.
It can be as mean as you want.
It's going to be mean.
Well, see,
it's gonna
be horrible. I say that, like, don't be mean, and I know. Like, it's just letting the dogs off the leash. They're going to get them. So, and then, you know, after
great.
That.
Can't maybe, wait for this segment.
Yeah, maybe the next week we have Chaps read all the reviews and Kate mm-hmm. read the reviews. And we'll just do 3 weeks of review goofing, maybe. And like I think it'll be fun. I don't think anyone will be too mean. We have great
reviews. Make my week comments. Horny reviews.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, all right. And that's all I got.
Okay. Whoops.
All right, yeah. Garden.
We're not ugly.
I mean, seriously, with the really blonde that you went really blonde, I mean, the Garth vibes are more than ever.
CBT, excellent.
Totally.
Sound the retreat.